So when God uses me or you to go and help someone repair their broken walls, I have to acknowledge God's condition. And God's condition is, listen, God's involved in this, but here's what he expects. Because so many of us, we say, Lord, help me, would you rebuild the wall? But man, you know, I'm just going to do whatever I want to. God says, I've got a condition here. You be unfaithful to me, you will continue to be broken. I will scatter you. But if you are faithful to me, I'm going to bring you back together. God is a holy God. He's not a negotiable God.
Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. In these next few moments, I pray that you will see how God wants to use His Word to encourage you. You may have had the most wonderful, glorious day. God's going to encourage you even more through His Word. Or maybe your day's not been a great day. God's going to encourage you through His Word, the Bible itself, God's encouraging Word. Again, we're featuring the Bible-based teaching of Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author and evangelist. And today, as we go into this message, Only One Savior, we believe the Lord's going to give us insight that will help us grow. Also know we're available for prayer 24 hours a day at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Well, hello, everyone. It's good to be able to worship the Lord today, and I know that God is blessing your lives and certainly praying for you as we pray for one another in every way. It's a wonderful privilege to be able to pray together. In fact, today when I open the scriptures, we're going to discover something about this wonderful truth, this great gift that God has given to us. And you know, I know that as we worship together, there are so many who are going through every kind of circumstance. You know, I just want to say that I appreciate so much the notes and the letters and the emails, people in our church filling out prayer cards every day. That is so important. I cannot save anybody, nor can you, but I can pray for you, and you can pray for me. So let's just pray together. Let's just ask the Lord to speak. Father, we're coming together, a vast crowd of people from every walk of life. I wish, Lord, that I had the capacity, the capability to see everyone, to identify everyone. It's hard enough to do that just in this sanctuary alone. And then we're reminded how you see every one of us. You know about us all. You speak to us. You just love us. How can we ever thank you? And then we think of Jesus. And during our study these days, Lord, how much we have come to just have such a deeper understanding of this wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I'm joining with a lot of intercessors today, wonderful servants of God who are praying for others, and I'm going to pray especially for that person right now who has a circumstance, a need, a situation. Someone, Lord, who is just crying out to you. And Lord, I'm coming boldly before the throne of grace. I'm coming, Lord, to place this person, not because I don't believe you already know everything, but because you've given us the privilege of coming boldly before you. What a great privilege. So I'm praying, Lord, for encouragement today. I'm praying for great blessing. And I'm praying right now that you're going to speak through your word here in the book of Hebrews. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Going to need your Bibles. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 7. I tell you, I absolutely love the preparation that I am privileged to do related to this series. As we walk through Hebrews in a relatively short space of time, there's so much here that we need to discover. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Every time I preach, I go home or go back to my study and I just think of how much more I knew that I needed to have said or didn't say that I wanted to say or should have said. But then I realize that the Spirit of God is speaking to you, and He is, isn't He? You know what I'm saying. It amazes me how during the week I will run into people, different walks of life, and they'll come up and they will say to me, "Pastor, you know, God spoke to me about this and about that and about the next thing," and I'm always grateful. I'm always reminded when we preach and teach God's Word that you can preach to apples and about apples and the oranges will get blessed, because the Spirit of God makes that application. So right now, I'm asking God to speak to you. And we're in Hebrews chapter 7, and I'm actually going to begin at verse 18. Now, I had originally thought I'd begin at verse 20, but I'm going to tell you why I'm going to begin at verse 18. Because in verse 18 of the letter to the Hebrews, something is said there about Jesus that you and I must know. So I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. What would you say about Jesus? What would you tell someone right now about Jesus? There are people who serve all around the world. We know people who serve in places where this Jesus of whom we speak is hardly known. And if you found yourself in a place like that and someone walked up to you and said, "Tell me about Jesus," what would you say? What is absolutely critical when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm about to share with you that there is only one Savior. Now, the word Savior carries with it the meaning of being rescued from something. The word Savior is tied into the very act of our salvation. You got that? So when you and I are saved by God's grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one Savior, it is He, Jesus Christ, who has come down from heaven. He's got alongside us. He gave His life for us in full identification for all of our sin. He upholds us and He carries us to safety. He brings us back into the presence of a holy and a righteous God. And He rescues us. He rescues us from sin. He rescues us from hell. He rescues us from judgment. He rescues us from ourselves. And He gives to us life through the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And you know that there's only one person who can do that. Now, before I read this verse to you today, there are so many of us looking for salvation in every walk of life. You can think of some of those things that come to mind easily, like making good money. I remember reading some months ago when it was signing day for something in college, I think it was, and I heard one promising athlete, he was just a young fella and he was going to a prominent college, and he made this statement because he was asked, and the question that was asked of him was, "Young man, you've got so much potential coming out of high school. Everybody is saying you are going to play one day in the NBA. How does it feel to know that in all likelihood you are going to be so well situated that you're going to be saved from all the hustle and bustle? That you're going to be able to have what you want. That you're never going to have to scratch to make ends meet." Giving him a picture of being rescued from something, and you and I know too well, it's jolly nice to have a lot of money, isn't it? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing unspiritual about signing a contract. I wish everybody could. In fact, I pray that at least five of my now seven grandchildren, if not all of them, would sign some kind of contract to do something because it would take care of my retirement. And all of us think of those things. But folks, not all the money in the world can give us what only Jesus Christ can give us. Isn't that amazing? I want to give you this as a background here. Because here in the letter to the Hebrews, we're discovering all kinds of things. People that don't pay attention to the Lord. Hebrews that came to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, but they remained as infants. They just weren't growing. There was a vast group of people there that were stuck in the elementary teachings about Christ, and they had never taken hold of maturity in the faith. There were people who actually believed that if you washed your hands before you ate and if you blessed your rituals and your relics, that you would have forgiveness. There were people who heard and they saw and they understood, but they just didn't know this Jesus. There were people who genuinely believed in their priest. And many of those priests undoubtedly were very fine men. I don't know. I never met any of them. But undoubtedly, some of them were the very best of the very best. And they actually believed that the priest could give them something that only Jesus Christ can do. So watch this. Are you ready? Get your Bibles. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 18. Here's what the writer says. For on one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness. Uh-oh. I'm sorry, I want to apologize for stopping in the middle of a reading here, but these words are action-packed. Remember, we're just coming out of this great description that we've had in this previous passage. As we've traced and as we've looked at the priestly order of Melchizedek, as God is establishing for us the supremacy of Christ. And when this was written, it was written in a seedbed, in a place where the law was the order of the day. It's what you did that mattered in terms of their religion rather than who you knew. It was your works that was the premium of their supposed religious experience rather than this incredible faith that we have in the person and work of this Jesus who's all-sufficient and complete.
You're listening to the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word, and he'll be back in just a moment with the completion of this message for today. But in this meantime, I want to remind you that we're connecting online at theencouragingword.org 24 hours a day. It's a wonderful place filled with resources of God's Word and God's encouragement, and maybe some tools that will help you be more disciplined as we are called to be disciples of Christ. One of our favorite tools, one the most popular, as a matter of fact, across the globe, is the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. Now, you can have a hard copy of that free just for calling 866-899-WORD and asking us, or signing up online at theencouragingword.org. Again, the phone number is 866-899-9673, or visit us online at theencouragingword.org. But I would challenge you to sign up for the email version as well. Even if you get the hard copy, to put over your visor like many of my friends do and study God's Word in carpool line, but get the email as well. It'll launch your day with a word of encouragement from God's Word, the Bible, and Dr. Wilton every single morning. And you can sign up by texting the word DAILY to 30500. That's right. Just text the word DAILY to 30500. We'll sign you up. And by this time tomorrow, you'll be receiving that encouragement from God's Word and Dr. Don Wilton. Again, text the word at theencouragingword.org. Now back to today's message, Only One Savior with Dr. Don Wilton.
Look at this verse. For on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside. The law is set aside. Rituals are set aside. Ceremonial washings are set aside. Belief in judgment is set aside. Just a simple religious faith in God is set aside. Good works are set aside because they are weak and useless, for the law cannot make anything or anyone perfect. Did you hear that, folks? You're going to church. You're on my reading the Bible, my preaching. You're on my theological studies. All the rules and the trappings of our religiosity cannot make us perfect in the eyes of a perfect God. I got such good news today. Watch this. Verse 19. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced, through which we draw near to God. In other words, while the law and the ritual and the good works and the religiosity and the churchiosity and the trappings of all our religious culturalism is our man-made effort to try and somehow take hold of a righteous and a holy God, the writer to the Hebrews says, hold on, there is real hope. There is someone through whom you can draw near to God. All right, let's pick up verse 20. I'm going to be a little quicker now because I want to unpack this. All right, and it was not without an oath. For those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath. Oath? We're about to discover that there's an oath that God made through Jesus Christ. You could put the promise of God here. Remember, Jesus came because God so loved. And remember when Jesus came to this earth, that he came to this earth and he is God. The guarantee of life. Jesus came to be crucified, but not to remain dead. Because by the power of God, Jesus was raised from the dead. Isn't that great? That's the oath of God. All right, let me put it in context. It was not without an oath, verse 20. For those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath. They were left completely at the mercy of the wages of sin, which is death. But this one who was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You, Christ the Lord, are a priest. You are the high priest for how long? What's the word? Forever. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. You know, if you listen to nothing else today, lock that in your mind. This, the promise of God, the decree of God, this pronouncement from the throne of God, emanating from the heart of God, this incredible plan for the redemption of mankind that came from God Himself, this makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. Now, here's the explanation, verse 23. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. Let me summarize that. All these priests are dead. By the way, can I just say this? Someone said to me one time, they said to me, Pastor, what is the difference between the Christian religion and the Muslim religion? Can I tell you what the difference is? My God is alive. He's not dead. I want you to just watch this, folks. This is powerful. Verse 24. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues for how long? Forever. Consequently, because he is the forever God, he's the guarantor of our hope, of our forgiveness. He signs, seals, and delivers us right there into the heart of a holy God. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Verse 26, for it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest. Here's a description of this Savior, this only one Savior, such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like all the other priests, to offer sacrifices daily. First, for his own sins, and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. Wow! That is just the most fantastic passage of Scripture. Well, just a few things here. I need you to get a hold of this in our study. This will really bless your heart. I promise, bless mine. These Hebrew people, just four things about these people here in this context. Number one, they were a historical people. Boy, did they have a history. No question about it. They were a historical people. Number two, they were a racially biased people. Wish I could say that differently. They were, folks. This was an exclusive group. I mean, they were exclusive. They were so racially biased. And a lot of problems came out of that. But I want you to think of us in America today. We're a historical people. We're a racially biased people. Number three, they were a persecuted people. Boy, were the Jews persecuted. You and I can talk about some of the most heinous, awful things. We all know about the horrors of the Holocaust. Folks, the persecution of the Jews, unparalleled all across the world. Number four, most certainly they were a religious people. And at the heart of their religion, at the very heart of the religion of the Hebrew people, guess who was there? The high priest. That's the Jewish religion. And what about the high priest? What did he do? He interpreted for them. He instructed them. What did the high priest do? Remember, he has a historical people, a racially biased people, a persecuted people, and a very religious people. And they put all their stock in the high priest. Very high view of the high priest. He interpreted what God said for them. He instructed them in God's law. He interceded for them. We're reminded of that when we get down into verse 26 and 27. It was the role of the high priest. Do you know back in this time they had a temple, they had the outer court of the temple, they had the inner court of the temple, the Holy of Holies. Nobody could go into the Holy Holies excepting the high priest. That means if you were to put it into this church, into practice, it would mean this area, this platform where I'm standing, right before where the choir was singing earlier. You and I know what happens is they would build literally a barrier around this area. They say, this is the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest can come here.
There is so much more to come in this great Bible study from Dr. Wilton called Only One Savior. We'll share the rest of this tomorrow on The Encouraging Word. You can keep up online at theencouragingword.org as well. Maybe even get ahead, but don't do that. Just wait and join us tomorrow as we continue to study God's Word together. Now, as the Lord has spoken through His Word today, one of the joys of seeing a phrase of Dr. Don's is, you can preach to the apples and the oranges get blessed. That's because of the power of God's Word. Dr. Don is quick to say it's, though he is a brilliant man with multiple degrees and tremendous years of experience in loving God and drawing close to God, he will remind us it's the Spirit of God that moves. And if He's moved in your heart, we'd love to talk with you about it and pray with you about the next step. We stand ready to connect right now at 866-899-WORD. That's the phone number, 866-899-9673. It'll connect you not just now during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day. We'd love to pray with and for you. And before we get away, a closing thought from our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you. And I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey. And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with a final word.
If the Lord has spoken to you, you need to tell someone. If God's changing your life, sharing that with someone else is a blessing that you would not believe. I pray you'd either share it with us on the phone, 866-899-WORD. We'd love to put some resources in your hand that will help you grow beyond whatever decision you've made today as the Lord has been speaking to you. Or we'd love to connect with you online at theencouragingword.org with resources that will help dig you deeper into God's Word, allow you to know what it's like to root yourself in truth that will never fail you, God's encouraging Word. Now, before we get away, though, I have a resource that has been, it's been special to me because I've shared it with now probably over a dozen people who were struggling with the idea of, are they secure in their salvation? Are they sure they know Christ? The book is called Totally Secured. Here's Dr. Don with some insight.
You know, in all my years of sitting at the feet of Dr. Billy Graham, he said this to me. He said, Don, the most important thing in life is to know that you belong to Jesus. And then he said, the second most important thing is that you know that you belong to Jesus. He encouraged me to write this book, Totally Secure, to help you find the answers to these important questions. That's why he endorsed this book of mine. I want you to have a copy of this book. I want you to have the assurance that you are going to heaven. Please pick up the telephone right now and call the number on the screen and request your personal copy of Totally Secure. The Encouraging Word broadcast ministry is supported by viewers and listeners just like you who want to make a difference in the world. So thank you for requesting my book, Totally Secure. Your financial support enables us to continue moving forward for Christ.
The number again is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or connect with us online at theencouragingword.org.
Just wanted to send you a note and tell you how thankful I am for the Encouraging Word broadcast program. We have been watching your program for some time and really have been blessed. Thank you for sharing this wonderful word of our Lord and Savior each Sunday. God bless you, Dr. Wilton, and your wonderful ministry.
We praise God for what the Lord is doing through the ministry of the Encouraging Word. Love to hear from you. The email for Don is Don, D-O-N, at theencouragingword.org. Until next time, take care and God bless.